Blog Talk Radio.
Poetic words seasoned just right to flavor your taste buds.
The words are the new Viagra that keeps you up, channelizing your soul into submission. Sensual and sexy as her poetry acts and answers questions you are scared to approach. Who is she? She is LSO, an erotic poet.
Good evening, good evening, and good evening to each and every one of you. Welcome to the LSO Truth Show. Happy Monday evening. Happy holidays. Happy today. Happy Black History. But the good thing about Black History, I'm Black 365, but this year is going to be 366. So happy being Black every day. That would be me. Get ready for an amazing 2 hours. I hope your day started with a smile and it will end with a bigger smile after hanging with me. And we have a special guest. Who is me? Me is LSO, the founder and owner of Treats and Things LLC and LSO exclamation point. I am an HBCU undergraduate and a master's summa cum laude graduate. And that is just some of the backbone of my educational hashtag, my LSO journey. I am Brooklyn's very own LSO, an author of 3 self-published erotic books and 1 inspirational book. With so much more to the LSO and so much more to LSO and her brand. Let's not forget, she is the host of the Lawless Radio LSO Treat Show. That's right, LSO have a talk show. LSO combines fantasy, fiction, and confession of someone's story. Would that be yours? Just slightly raise your hand. I see y'all through the airwaves. The creative diversity in the writing captures you with the intent of helping you to relate and or reminisce in your fantasy, truth, or a combination of both. An escape to pleasures beyond your imagination introduces you to outside-the-box experiences in total liberty and being your authentic self. Here's where your fantasies become your reality without judgment. The erotic books are recipes that add the spice for intimacy, romance, getting to know yourself, and any of your sexual desires, allowing you to express your sensuality in the words into your life, the freedom. Freeing yourself to enjoy your fantasies and your alter egos. Learn your body, your likes, your dislikes, bask in how it makes you feel. It's all fiction until you make it real. The inspiration book, dig into self and be your best organically. You deserve yourself in happiness and success. LSO was told to do big things, and I'm holding on to that statement. I am comprised of many talents with the master of all and without any regrets. So enjoy what I do. If I think it, it can be done. Speaking life into self is an affirmation that yes, I can, and yes, I will. LSO never disappoints and promises limitless possibilities. Are you ready for tonight's show? If not, get ready for this evening's topic, embarrassed to empowered, .. a healing lupus story. Note, these are our personal and or research opinions, so get ready to call in and confess your research. Remember, the Lawless Radio LSO Treat Show is a safe space and a no-judgment zone where your confessions and research are welcomed. Transparency at its best. So call in with your questions. Tonight, y'all, we have a very special guest. Before I introduce her to you, let me just tell you, tonight she's going to share with you her story. Now, the reason why I said her story, because everybody's story is different, even though the symptoms may start the same or everything may start off the same, but everybody have their own journey that they have to travel, and some travel with other baggage, and I don't really want to call it baggage, but it's something, well, let me call a spade, it's called lupus. She's on her journey, she's traveled with lupus, and she's here tonight to share with you her journey, how she overcame, what she went through. So you never know, those out there, it may be similar to you too, and you had nowhere to turn. So we'll probably give you some insight. Tonight's special guest Her name is, y'all ready? Terrell Sally Holloman. Yes, yes, yes. Terrell is a speaker, author, mentor, and advocate who is changing lives around the world. Terrell's journey started 30 years ago, but she began her recovery journey by taking charge of her health 19 years ago. Terrell's story is one of triumph over adversity as she battled and overcame the challenges of systematic lupus. Okay, now, I don't know how to pronounce this word, so when Terrell come on, she going to tell y'all. Don't you laugh at me. It's SLE. Y'all look it up. And the spelling is E-R-Y-T-H-E-M-A-T-O-S-U-S. Okay, Nurse Vanessa, Dr. Reed, listen, don't get on me about it. I don't know, and I'm not even trying to pronounce it. But anyway, emotional eating and low confidence to become a lifestyle health coach with a global following. We're going to have a little quote from her. Discipline in your health creates a ripple effect in all areas of your life. Embarrassed to empowered, a healing lupus story. Terrell, 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 welcome and welcome. How are you today?
Well, first of all, I have to thank you so much for that introduction. I really appreciate it. And I actually had a really beautiful day. I got up really early this morning. Usually I get up after, you know, my husband gets ready to go to work. But, you know, it was a good day. So I got out and walked, even though it was like 23 Reeve today. But I did it anyway.
That's all I can say.
Yeah, so I did about 15 minutes, had a conversation with one of the construction workers for like 15 minutes. So, you know, it was pretty good, you know. And then I got back and took my shower, and I had my breakfast, well, brunch by that time. And I started on my work. So that's how my day went. So how was yours?
Oh, you know, I told the people, first of all, my day was long. But it went, I had a meeting today, and I was in the wrong meeting. Don't ask me how it happened, but I was in the wrong meeting for a whole 2.5 hours.
Oh, my gosh.
So then when I went to the right meeting, I wasn't able to meet in the meeting. So I just went back to my desk, and that's how my day started. The next thing you know, it's time for me to leave. And voila, here we are.
Yeah, things like that happens. Things like that happen. It's all good. But we're here tonight.
It
to
sure
chat,
is,
so
and it
about.
Will be if it's not. Well, you know, here on the LSO Treat Show, we do things however we choose to want to do it. Why? Because it's my show and I can do that. And there's something in the book, well, actually the title of this evening's conversation is called Embarrassed to Empowered, A Healing Lupus Story. That's the title of her book, and she's going to give you more information during the course of the show, but for the reader. So I'm going to read, with her permission, her prayer that she put in the book for everyone. Lord Jesus, in this moment, I ask that you take away any pain my reader is experiencing. It can be the emotional side, feeling hopeless, dismayed, or discouraged in his or her journey. I don't know if it is physical. They are struggling with being obese, overweight, cancer, hypertension, or a chronic condition that feels like prison. We ask today, right now, to remove that spirit of fear, doubt, and confusion. Permit them to see you in an ultimate source of healing. In Jesus' name, amen.
Yeah,
well, I think
that
even though it's at the end of the book, I think that should have been at the beginning of the book, because open up with prayer. But,
okay. We'll do that on the next one.
Yeah, there you go. Open up with the prayer. So we already set in the mood and getting everybody's mind right. So those that are tuning in now, again, we are talking about lupus, and we're talking about Terrell's Journey with Lupus. So if y'all have any questions, you can text me, inbox me, or raise your hand on online, and I can bring you on. You can talk to her directly. Don't forget to call a friend and tell them to listen in as well, especially if you know someone who may have lupus. So, Terrell, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Okay, where do I start? No, let me stop.
You can start from the beginning, middle, and wherever you want.
But I will tell you this. I am a Brooklyn kid. Grew up in Brooklyn.
All over, everybody.
Yeah, Brooklyn's in the house here. And after we got married, we moved over here across the river to New Jersey. So my children are Jerseyans. They're not, from New York in that sense. But I have to say a little bit about me. See, besides the labels that we all give ourselves, the wife, the mom, the business owner, the most important thing to me is that I'm a daughter of the Most High, of Jesus, of God. So that's what I would firstly say. I'm a daughter of God. And then everything else is what it is. And I've been in, I would say about 36 years ago, 37 years ago, I was in finance and accounting. You graduate from college, that's what you want to do, but that's not exactly where my path led, especially after I got the diagnosis. So so with all of those labels that I just shared with you, that's the most important one to me right now, is being a daughter of God. So anything else you want to take from that, you can start on.
Okay. So then we can say our father.
Yes, our father, right, yes.
Okay.
We are daughter of God, that's right.
Yes, indeed. Okay,
mm-hmm.
So we want to dive right in. We want to get into your business. At any time, if you feel uncomfortable, you don't have to answer anything or you don't have to say anything, and we'll just move right along. This is all about you, what you want to share, and how you advocated for yourself, you and your husband, and we'll go from there.
Okay.
So, when did you find out you had lupus?
I believe we were married. I'm trying to think of when I got married and when I found out. So that was about 5 years. Yeah, I would say about 5 years after we got married, I got the actual diagnosis. However, there were certain things happening to my body that I knew wasn't right.
Mm-hmm.
And none of the medical doctors figured it out, which is unfortunate because even 35, almost 40 years later, they're still having this issue.
Right.
They don't go to that first in our community, brown and black community. They don't go to that as a reason for 10 symptoms that occur with this autoimmune condition. And I believe maybe 11, but I believe you need to have, as they say, meaning medical doctors, 4 out of the 10 or 11 to be, quote unquote, diagnosed with it. So I did have, I don't remember if I had fever, but I remember being tired all the time. I mean, really tired. I slept 8 hours and I'm still exhausted. I definitely had pain, joint pain. What else had happened during that time? And I didn't know that I had kidney inflammation at the time because I wasn't tested for that, but that was already happening to my body. I did have this huge rash on my face at one point, and I didn't know what that was. I thought it was the sun, maybe, hanging out too much, didn't use no sunscreen, so maybe that's what's going on. So you're thinking all these things, but you don't think.
Right.
Several months before it was figured out that that's what the diagnosis was. And it's a little, unnerving that women are still dealing with this now. They're still getting these kind of reports. When you talk to people, you see things online like, what? You had such and such? they didn't tell you that, that's not, yeah, and I hear, you know, women saying all the time, well, that's not what they tested me for. They tested me for everything else but systemic lupus. And like I said, it's still unfortunate that it's not the first thing or second or even the top five that they test in our community for some reason. I don't know if it's because they feel we're crazy, or maybe they don't feel we know what we're talking about, or it's just not a priority. I don't know what the reason is for that, but it's very unnerving, to say the least.
Well, you know, it's interesting because you said in the readings that lupus doesn't show up on blood work. So if they're testing...
Yeah, it doesn't. It's not like this first, it's special type of exams or testing, as we can say, use it for lack of a better word, in order for them to know if it's that kind of autoimmune condition. And I'm sure they have the same for, you know, rheumatoid arthritis, which is RA or MS, multiple sclerosis, anything with autoimmune. I'm sure there's a special exam, blood test, I should say, to give them indicators that that's what you're being diagnosed with, but that wasn't what they did for me. No, and I met people over the years. I met so many different people where they lost organs because it was, you know, because they weren't diagnosed right away, or as a result of this condition, maybe they didn't take care of themselves properly and they lost. Like, I met one woman, I remember one time, she said, yeah, so how many organs have you had to part with? And I'm like, what are you talking about?
Oh. Wow.
I said, yeah, I don't have my gallbladder. And then she started listing them to me. I'm like, oh, my gosh. I'm thinking to myself, I'm praying that this don't happen to me. You know, but these are the kind of communities that in terms of communities that were set up back then, where you go to this group and everybody's supposed to talk about this condition, but to me it was very negative. I'm not going there to get encouragement to find ways to overcome this. I'm hearing everybody's sad story or, you know, what they're complaining about, and I just couldn't be a part of that, so I left. I never went back.
Oh,
you know, so, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
A message just came into me. It says, the ANA test is for autoimmune. That's the blood test.
Yep. Yes, it is.
See, it's interesting because if you don't know what to ask for, then they're not going to treat, but not treat is not the right word. If you don't know what to ask for, they're not going to take the next step to say, oh, well, a possibility or it could be. So, but I'm sure at that time you didn't know to ask.
I didn't know what to ask for.
Right.
Yeah. And, you know, we're in 2024, and I'm sure there are many women and maybe even men, because men also can, you know, have the diagnosis also. It's more prevalent in women, especially Black women and Spanish women. For some reason, they still don't know why. But I'm sure there's more, I don't want to say evidence, but I'm sure there's more information that someone could find out, because maybe they have a relative or a friend that they know is dealing with it or had dealt with it and now has transitioned or something like that. But it's interesting to find out that I was talking to a rheumatologist, and she said it's still so much. It's still so much to learn, because this particular condition, even though it shows up, each person is different in terms of their body. Like, I met another person who maybe had got diagnosed a little earlier than me, maybe a year or two, but that person, for some reason, had issues with their kidney where they were almost to the point where they needed to get dialysis. But that did not happen. Then I met another person in the hospital one time. I was going for some kind of blood work or whatever, and she told me she only had like 20% in terms of kidney function, you know, with the diagnosis. So it's so like, you know, so like A to Z.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And I feel that I've been blessed because I took active action immediately. The minute we found out, we started working on it. It wasn't like, even though I was upset, I was upset, girl. I was like, Lord, why me? Why are you putting this on me? What's going on? I mean, I was really upset about it. And my husband's like, why not you? You don't know who can, he said, you don't know who can benefit from this tomorrow, the next day, or years from now. You don't know what's going to happen in the future because of what happened to you. But we got to deal with this right now. And I was like, you know, I was like, I don't want to deal with this.
He said we, so he didn't leave you by yourself, even even though it was attacking you, but it was still a we situation, which is very good because some people did not have a we, so it was just them and lupus.
Yeah, and I have a friend of mine that said that, you know, and he said, I really would love for everyone to have a Jeff in their life. That's my husband's name. But she said, but it's good to know that if you don't, you go and reach out to get support because that's really in any health situation. I don't care from hypertension to cancer or whatever your situation is. You need support. And you need support of people who are going to tell you the truth, but also at the same time support you and advocate for you. Because a lot of times when you go into a doctor's office, especially medical doctor, and he starts sharing with you the diagnosis and you're not really listening. You're not really listening. So you need someone there that's going to be consciously listening, taking notes, asking questions that maybe questions that you haven't thought of because, you know, you're first trying to deal with what they just said.
Right.
Right.
Which
so,
is true. Right.
It's so important to have somebody there to, you know, to be in your corner. So I've been really blessed in that sense. You know, I've been really blessed.
Okay.
But
okay,
true.
Well, I have a nurse that's listening in, and she has this thing when she says she had a question, but then the next message came, pick me now. And you're not the bully of me, but I'm going to bring you on. The last four digits, 5961, you're about to be on. Hello, state your name and where you're calling from.
Evening. I'm known to position as my vicious fixing. Pardon me, I'm a little hoarse. I just have a couple of questions. I want to know exactly how old were you when you were diagnosed?
In my 20s, I believe I was around 27, 26, something like that. I don't actually remember. What's around then?
What hospital following your case?
Oh, gosh. I don't even think that hospital is around anymore. It's somewhere in Orange, but I don't think it's around anymore.
New Jersey?
I think it was Orange Hospital. Yeah, in Jersey, yeah. Mm-hmm. It's
okay.
Not there anymore. Mm-hmm.
Right, that's, it's probably why it's not there anymore. Because I'm listening to you. Those symptoms that you're expressing.
Oh, you're fading in and out.
Okay, hello, you're fading in and out, sweetie. Vivacious.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Okay, okay.
You hear
hello?
Me?
Hello? You're fading
you,
in and out. Now we can hear you.
All right, I'm going to talk to the phone. I'm saying is, those symptoms that you're expressing, those are the classic symptoms of lupus, especially African American people, specifically women. So, for your doctor, the doctors missed that not even granted. They won't do A&A unless they feel there's cause. If you walk in with the red, we call butterfly face, and you said you thought you was sunburn, extreme fatigue. Those are two classic signs. So, I mean, I am firstly, I'm just saying I'm thankful that you are alive and well, doing well. Again, our Father's plan, us no matter what. I have a cousin who is dealing with lupus now and has affected her kidneys, at least two kidneys, dialysis. So when you just be, you know, I sometimes get upset. I hear people talking about, oh, I don't have, you know, very cavalier about where they are. They don't have to do dialysis, or they don't have to do whatever. But people do. So I'm thankful, God, that you don't have to. And just also want you to stay on top of your lupus diagnosis. So if you know anything about lupus, we find a day, next thing you know, you're having some type of something. You're having some respiratory problems because the lupus affects all your lungs, your organs, your lungs, kidneys. Stay on top. Your doctors, get your exams, as your schedule, get them. Do what you have to do. Make sure you stay well. And if you have to go to someplace, that's what they specialize in, you go. You find you a doctor specializes in autoimmune disease, because that's what lupus is. It's an autoimmune disease, and you have doctors. Specialty. Well?
Yes. Well, thank you so much for that. We greatly appreciate your input. And again, that is so true. Certain symptoms should be an education, a medical stint that would say, bam, test for, because these are symptoms of lupus. The same way they automatically assume, oh, COVID, you have COVID, as opposed to having
right.
flu or as opposed to having a cold. The symptoms are standard. Okay, with these symptoms right here, these are the possibility of things that can cause these particular symptoms. Why don't we test for boop, 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 boop? And,
exactly.
you know, if you don't advocate for yourself, I don't want to say they are misdiagnosed, but it may take them a little longer to diagnose you with what the issue really is.
Right.
So
that's what I wish
you
well.
So much.
You're welcome.
I thank you so much, and I'm going to put you back on hold.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yes,
right.
Thank
would
you
like to add anything to that?
What I'm going to say to that is she is definitely correct in reference to staying on top of things in order for my lifestyle. There's no
mm-hmm.
such thing as emergency. I don't let stuff get me stressed. I definitely am very much in part of my prayer life and devotion, and staying in the word helps a lot too. But I really take care of my health. I eat for my blood type. I exercise. I drink loads of water, and with my doctors, I would say now I'm down every six months because, you know, there's nothing going on. So when I first got diagnosed, and I was very what they call the active stages, you were going to ask about that, it's when, you know, the body shows that there's activity going on, and I had to see it in 3 months. But now I'm down to every 6 months because as of 2008, before 2008, I had like six different medications.
Scott.
Right.
Has 6 patients, and I'm down to 1. So far as I'm concerned,
excellent.
My body is that's the way I look at it. And it's been since 2008, so we're talking about 16 years now. And, you know, for me, and like I said, like she said, there are definitely people that are dealing with dialysis with this or even worse, you know. So it's once you find out, depending on what phase it is, because I did meet someone in a gym one time. I was working out and we're just talking. And she says, yeah, my younger sister, you know, she's kind of sad. I said, what happened? She said, oh, my younger sister, you know, she just passed away. And I said, where are you guys from? Because I hear accents. She's like, yeah, we're from Jamaica. And she came up here for school. And she was always tired. And I kept telling her, you know, cool out. You know, you're in college, da, da, da. And things started happening very, very quickly. And when they got her to the hospital, and it happens, the doctor that she was seeing is actually the same doctor I still have today. And he had to let the family know that she would make it because all her organs had already failed her because it was too late.
Wow.
They had no idea. She had no idea that she was dealing with systemic lupus. But by that time, you know, the organs had, you know, just failed her. So it does affect every part of your body. I mean, I've met people that their central nervous system is off. I've met people, it's just their kidneys. I've met people that their heart is, you know. So it can go anywhere in your body because it's really like, it really acts like the immune system attacks its own tissue, therefore causing inflammation and tissue damage to the organs. So it can go anywhere. It can go to your heart. It can go to your brain. It can go central nervous system. It can go to kidneys. They have found that most people that are dealing with systemic lupus, it does affect your kidneys. So we have to be very, very careful what we eat. We have to be very careful stress levels because stress puts, you know, stress could do a doozy. Stress kill people, you know what I'm saying? So imagine having that on top of that. You have to, you know, also – your weight is an issue too. You know, if you're obese, that's not helping your organs function, right? It's making your organs work even harder to breathe or get, you know, and do what it needs to do. So all of these factors are very keen to us that are, you know, folks that are dealing with this condition to be aware of. And to each day, give thanks that you're here another day, you know, because
exactly
anything can happen. Anything can happen.
And
so,
that's even without lupus.
That's what I was going to say. Even without this condition, anything can happen. So especially in our communities, you know, I was saying to somebody a couple of weeks ago, we're talking. I said, do you ever notice when you go around in our areas, meaning brown and black communities, there's a church and a liquor store on every corner. But when you go on somebody else's
neighborhood, they're right next door to each other.
Right, they're right next door. So what are you trying to say to me? You know, you got the fast food, you got the liquor store, and you're doing all of this to your body, and it's not good because we only have one, and God gave us this one for it to be healthy, to do the things we could do on this earth while we're here because, you know, earth, you know, eventually heaven will be on earth. But right now we have a beautiful body, regardless of how you might think of it, to do his greatest work here. And we're just using it as trash cans. We're just putting all the garbage in it, you know, eating stuff that's not good for us, drinking stuff that's not good for us, you know, and you're just making yourself worse. So then the disease comes in, right, and it takes over. And then you're fighting.
Yeah.
Fight to get rid of the disease, but if you take the opportunity to self well, and well, you know, when we talk about health, health encompasses the whole, you encompasses your soul, your body, your mind, the emotional, the mental, the socialization with other people. It involves all of that, the joy, the happiness, the peace, the hope. All of this is connected, your finances, you know, the relationships you're dealing with. All of this is the whole person. But when any of those pieces are not in place the way they're supposed to be, then you're off kilter. And that causes issues for especially something like this, your immune system to be affected,
and you know, and things get worse. And I remember saying to the doctor, like, how did this happen? Because I ain't never heard of this in my life. My mama ain't tell me nothing about this. And he said, well, you know, it could have been a situation where it was very, very dormant in there. And, you know, but when you had that accident, it probably triggered something. And I was like, oh, okay, because I had some car accident. Wow. And he said it could have been dormant, it would have been nothing. So, but they do have studies showing that there, and I've met people where, you know, the mom and daughter has it or the cousins have it or, you know, like that. But
right,
from what I research in my family, no one has it, you know, so don't know.
Right, that's like true. And then, you know, sometimes families, like some of the elders, they didn't talk about things.
Right,
and everything
exactly.
Stayed within their four
right.
walls.
Yeah.
And they
and
treated
they
it as such. So
yeah.
a lot of history, when they left, the history left with them.
That's true.
So
that's definitely,
you know,
true.
It's unfortunate. But, you know, we have a responsibility now to leave behind or let others know so that, you know, you can build dropping the crumbs just in case if the crumbs is needed to be picked up and a story needs to be told. Well,
mm-hmm.
you had mentioned a few minutes ago in reference to your blood type. So at what
right.
point in your journey did you realize that knowing your blood type is a positive factor? Because someone mentioned that to me like so a couple of years ago in reference to they were beginning to eat according to their blood type. Can you elaborate on that some more?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I believe as we were researching ways to accelerate the healing process for my body, we were reading books and, you know, if you ever came to my house, we have 1,000 books, if not more. We're
mm-hmm.
avid readers, especially, you know, personal development books, just, you know, biographies, autobiographies, all that stuff. So I remember we were looking around and my husband found this book. He's like, oh my gosh, maybe this is something we could do. And I was like, what is this? He said, eat according to your blood type. I was like, who does that? You know, he's like, well, let's check it out. And I was like, okay. So we might've did it for a couple of months and we put it down and, you know, our children were younger then, so we didn't really follow through with it, but we had given up red meat and we had chicken, turkey and fish at the time, I believe. Yeah. And we really didn't have chicken, but, you know, our children were young and they're going to parties and school and you can't tell people at the house, oh, you know, they only eat turkey and fish. You know, most of our homes, you got to have some kind of chicken, right? So they started, we kept the chicken in. So when we decided to go full force with this, by this time our children were in like high school or going to college, so they're doing whatever they're going to do anyway. So I knew for myself, let me see what I can do to really next level my health, right?
Right.
At the time, my rheumatologist, he was excited that I got rid of 100 pounds because as a result of finding out the diagnosis, I went into a tailspin, a rabbit hole that I couldn't get out of mentally and physically speaking. I just ate my way. I just ate.
Yeah.
I couldn't deal with it. I just ate. And he was really happy that I was able to get rid of the weight. And he was very instrumental in that too. And I remember saying to him, well, you know, now that I'm doing this other thing, and I won't give the company's name because I'm not giving them credit, but right now, but it's in
there
my book.
Go.
And,
mm-hmm.
huh? Yeah.
I said,
and,
mm-hmm.
Yep. And after that, I decided, okay, we were playing around with this. I need to investigate this a little bit further. And I remember, I think it was around, and I could be wrong with this. I don't remember. I think it was around 2014 or something. We said, hey, let's see how we can do this. And then we started in the house, meaning just between me and him, not the children, let's see what we can do. So we started doing it. We lost a little bit more weight. We started feeling really good, you know. We had more energy, more vitality. And we're like, this might be something. And I remember when his mother passed away suddenly, and I said, okay, that's it. You know, because I went into emotional eating, you know, when she passed. And I said, okay, this is it. This is it. I got to clean up my act. I got to get rid of everything that's not serving me well in terms of the food. So I really got serious about it. And then I would say in 2022, I was on a social media app, and I met some people that were talking about it. And I was like, wow, this is really cool. This is really cool. Somebody else is talking about it, that what I've been doing. And that really set me up to say, you know, in terms of business and my coaching, because I couldn't figure out what to do in terms of coaching, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to teach the other women what I did and
right.
how I feel so much better and how I feel, you know, a new sense of life. It's like, you just renewed your health by, you know, doing this. So that's what I decided to do after that, you know. So it's been something that is posted on our on our refrigerator.
Okay, well, listen, that's a big start. You did something about it. You read something, you tried it, and you saw how it worked for you. And you just went from there. So at least you started. You did something. You didn't just do anything. So
right.
That's a good thing.
Action. The whole thing is take action. A lot of times I feel when, and this doesn't have to be everybody. I'm not going to put it under everybody. But there are times when folks hear news of this magnitude and they get paralyzed and they don't do anything at all. And things get worse. And we don't want that. We want to take charge now. We want to take action today. Don't wait till the new year. Don't wait to, I'll start at the end of the month and let me eat all my ice cream and cookies now. No, start today because we're not promised tomorrow. And you have one more day, stay on this earth to do what you're called to do, and why not take care of the body temple he gave you? You know what I'm saying? Why not?
I understand. Like when I first started reading the book, you started your story in third person. When did you actually accept and to begin to start talking about yourself in first person?
Okay, that's an interesting question. I would say this. I did that on purpose.
Okay.
That on purpose. I wanted people to understand because a lot of times you get tagged with these diagnoses and you feel like that third person. You feel like this is not happening to me. This is not happening to Terrell. So let me talk about it like this. So that's why I did that. I took full accountability, I would say, just before my daughter was born. Yeah. I would say after I got pregnant, I really started really, okay, this is real. This is like, this is something I got to deal with. You know, I have to really deal with this. So I would say then I started really coming to terms with it. Cause now I got another person, right? I got another person to, take care of beside myself. So I got to really, you know, reel this in. I got to follow what the doctors are saying. I got to, you know, get the rest. I can't keep working these crazy hours, you know, running all these business. I mean, I was just doing too much. And that happens a lot with women. I don't care what background or socioeconomic or race you are. We do a lot. We're nurturers.
Yeah.
You know, we take care of the children. We take care of the spouses or the boyfriends or the partners, whatever, and then you're taking care of people at church and you take care of your parents and then you're caregiving for the so-and-so down the block, you know, and you're doing the PTA.
Putting stress on your body.
Exactly. You're doing stuff at work, you know, so we're doing all these things and I believe we have to learn as women to say no and create boundaries, you know, and I've learned that later on in life. But for anyone that's younger now, they know it's okay. It's a full sentence, you know. No, it's a full sentence. No, thank you. I will
exactly.
not do that for you.
Exactly.
No,
exclamation
you.
Point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes, and keep those boundaries. It's okay, you know, to keep a boundary around your health, to keep a boundary with relationships, to keep a boundary with food choices. That's a big one. Just because it's sitting there at the buffet don't mean you have to eat it, you know?
But it'd be calling your name. It'd be calling you.
I know it does, hon. I know it does.
In all different languages. And I answer like I'm bilingual.
That doesn't mean you need to eat it, okay? Especially if it's not good for your blood.
Oh,
so,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay, now, during a point in the reading, and I guess this was during the times when you were talking about yourself in third person, it was a lot of self-mental abuse. When did you realize to stop self-mental abuse? When did the light go off, like, bloop, stop this right now?
That took a long time because I believe, unfortunately, in the society that we live in, it's very easy to talk negative about yourself. And you're dealing with a condition. Then you're a black woman in America, and then you're 100 pounds overweight. So it's like, you know, all of that is going on in your head. And I have to say, I thank God for my husband because he so many times had to keep sharing, you know, declaring great words over me, you know, that you're beautiful, that, you know, you can't let this get to you. We're going to conquer this together. This is not you. It's just a condition you're dealing with. It doesn't define you. And like I said, I had to learn that over time by reading a lot of books. Books are beautiful, provided you get the right ones to really help you overcome. And the biggest one is the Bible, right?
Exactly.
But I had to read a lot of personal development books because I felt in a lot of ways I was insecure. I was a people pleaser, so a lot of that had a lot to do with it. And, being bullied, there's a lot of things in life that happen, and it compounded. You know, that's when you talk about that trauma. You have to get to the root of it and really dismantle that and give it up to God to know that you are his masterpiece, that none of that is you. That's of the enemy trying to get in your head because he made you a certain way. He made you uncommon. He made you unique. He made you a masterpiece for a reason. So there's no one in the world. I had to learn there's no other Terrell. You know, there's no other Terrell Sally Holloman. There's no other Terrell that, you know, does what she do and who she is. And I had to recognize that. But it took a long time, girls. It wasn't a case where, okay, I got the diagnosis in this year, and 2 years later I was like, oh, yeah, you know. No, it was a process. And I'm sure there's people now that are dealing with different health challenges, whether it's hypertension or something like cholesterol, and they're still talking negative about themselves, which those are very – two things that can be controlled on how you live your lifestyle. And I also feel the same thing with autoimmune. You can definitely change that around on your lifestyle, how you look at stuff and how you value stuff and who you keep around you. Because there are people out there, girl, that don't want to see you succeed, don't want to see you get well, you know, because it makes them look better. So we also have to be conscious of that, too. And take it for what it's worth, you know, that you are important, that you are valued, that you are worthy. You are enough. You know, you are enough. Yeah, you are enough.
You have to know that. You have to know that within yourself.
And you keep talking mm-hmm. about books, so I'm just going to put in a little simple plug. LSO got 4 books out there. I'm just saying.
yeah. This is okay. My first one, so I'm looking forward to the next series and stuff. So
yes, I'm looking forward to reading as well. So when did you stop the Why Me campaign? Was it when your husband said, why not you? You like how I put the little campaign, right?
Well, I stopped that immediately, really. After we had that, I'll just say we had that discussion.
Okay.
I'm really sorry for myself in that point, because when he started really running it down, I mean, I didn't put it all in the book, but when he started running it down, I was like, yeah, you're right. So why am I even, acting like this? So the whole thing is that I know it happens to a lot of folks when things like this pop up, is that automatically you go to that default, that negative, like, why me, but why not you? There's a reason. And
right.
There's a reason. We don't know what it is, and maybe we're not supposed to know. But
right.
I do feel in our hearts and our minds, when they connect together, you could figure this out with the Lord and figure out where you need to go and
mm-hmm.
what you need
mm-hmm.
to do. And he puts people in your path, your destiny helpers, to help you. But you got to be open
exactly.
to recognize those people are there to help you out. Because if you keep closing the door, you're not going to get
exactly.
help.
You know what? I think if we know the why to certain situations, it may change our testimony what we will talk about, or what we will rejoice in, or in the story that we tell, if we knew the why. I don't know. That just came to me.
I feel a little different on that, because
okay,
if the Lord gave you all the whys, I feel sometimes we won't do it because we're too scared. We might be nervous, and it's too big of a dream or a goal, and we might not, in our human capacity, be able to relate to that. So if
right.
I knew the why, I might have not wrote this book. You know what I'm saying? If I knew the why,
your concern will change your testimony that you're telling.
Right. If you know the why, you wouldn't go through the stuff that you need to go through. I'm reading Philippians. I'm doing a study on Philippians with my women's Bible study. And, I mean,
mm-hmm.
Paul is a deep, deep brother there, okay? And
mm-hmm.
he says all in those 4 chapters, rejoice, rejoice. He always talks about joy. And all the stuff he'd been through, I was like, man, if I was back then, I don't know if I could be jailed and I could be this and, you know, being beaten up and stoned and all this stuff. I said, God, thank you for putting me in 2024. You know
exactly.
But I'm saying,
exactly.
he's saying rejoice in all the pain. So I think about, and I reflected when I wrote this book, I was like, oh, you know, it did bring up a lot of pain. But at the same time, I wouldn't be the person without it. You know what I'm saying? I wouldn't be able to testify
right.
to you today to say, you can do it. You can be victorious in this, because I went through it. And Paul is saying the same thing. I'm speaking the gospel of Christ right now, Timothy, and the rest of you at in Rome, in Philippians, in, you know, it's the colony of Philippi. And you could go and preach the gospel. You know, you're going to be tested and you're going to be persecuted for him. But that, you know, but that's the way it is. And that's the way I thought about it with regard to writing this book. Yeah, it's my testimony. And I went through quite a bit of stuff. But I'm sure there's people that went through worse stuff than me that didn't even write a book. You know what
exactly.
I'm saying?
Exactly.
Their voice. I
gotta
use my voice.
Tell their story.
Right. So I had to use my voice because it was so silent for so long. And yeah, you read the book, you'll probably say, boy, she mashing them doctors. Well, hey, that's what happened to me. You could have had a better situation
yeah.
than me.
Exactly.
But I want to advocate to have women, especially women, to speak up in the doctor's office. Take somebody with you. Have somebody that's going to advocate
mm-hmm.
because, hey,
You know what's happening in your body. The doctor is only practicing, you know? He's practicing.
Exactly.
So he doesn't really know. Only God knows, right? So you have to speak up and say, this is what's happening, and I need – and if you don't like what he's saying or you don't get the, you know, results, you go to somebody else. Go to someone else until you find the solution to what's going on. And that's what I had to do. None of the medical doctors were able to tell me anything. None of them. It was a dermatologist.
You know, and it's interesting how you go to so many doctors and you tell the same story over and over and over again where the story is like such a routine. And then it takes someone, you go to a podiatrist, and they'll say, oh, well, blah, 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 blah. Something totally different from what's going on for them to tell you what the medical doctors should have investigated a little bit further.
That's exactly what he said. They should have definitely out, but they didn't. I said they didn't, so you're the person.
Exactly.
And I said, thank goodness. Yeah. I said, thank goodness.
That's why you have to advocate. You have to advocate for yourself. Yeah. Now, because you said, I don't want to say harsh, but I am going to say harsh, or you said some negative words in your book in the beginning. Now I'm going to ask you, can you name 5 positive words that can negate some of those negative words that you've told yourself?
I would say beautiful, powerful. What's another word? Uncommon, unique, and genuine. Yep.
Okay.
That's what I would say. That's what I'd say.
I'm just taking it down.
Oh. Yeah. You know, and they grow up, meaning the little girls in the world, and I guess I would say the little boys. I'm so like conscious of when they're around because words are definitely powerful. I know people used to say sticks and stones, but that's not true. Words hurt people. Words scar you for life for some people,
too.
If you don't have anybody around to flip the script and tell you that, hey, you are a child of God. You are beautiful. You are whatever. And then some people, you know, the little people that grow up to teenagers, to young adults and to adults, they have this life of trauma because those words were attached to them since they were like 4 or 3. Like, you're no good. You ever hear somebody say, you're no good, you're just like your daddy, you know, there's no way you're going to succeed in life, you're just a bum, da-da-da-da-da, you know, and it goes on and on and on. This person really becomes exactly what you said. And there's no need for that, right? Because we know that's not necessarily true. We know that we all have something that can be of purpose. I was just talking to the gentleman today when I was walking. We had a great conversation. And he said, I said, so many people leave this earth that have so much talent and have so many skills and so many gifts. And they're in the cemetery. And all these treasures are in the cemetery, but they can't do anything about it because they transitioned already. And he said, that is so true. He said, because he used to work in corporate America, he used to be a banker. He said, I hated that job. I hated it. He said, I don't even know what. He said, now I'm doing construction, and I love it. And I've been in over 20 years, and this is what I love to do. I said, well, I'm glad you figured that out because you could have been miserable for the rest of your life, you know?
Exactly.
And not know that you really love construction. You love being outside. You love, you know, working with your hands. He said, you're right. I said, but so many people have died already. And they were miserable not even knowing that. So if anybody learned anything today, it's like, you know, rejoice. Rejoice even in the midst of what's going on. But in all things, but also know for yourself what your true self is. What is your calling? What is your purpose here? You know, and figure what the heck it is. You know, if you're in a situation, you know, I'm not telling anybody to leave with, you know, leave their job and it's going to cause a financial hardship. But find what really is your gift and your talent that the Lord has given you and use it, you know. Use it to spread the love, the hope, the peace, and the joy, you know, because nobody wants to be around somebody that's miserable. Believe me when I tell you, because I've been there.
Yeah. And misery does love company, so that company can be by itself.
That's
And enjoy by itself.
That's right. Let it be by itself, right? Let it be by itself. You're right. And
go over in that corner over there and be by itself. I did, in you know, of course, reading up on it, that it shows that there are different types of lupus.
Mm-hmm.
What type of lupus do you have, and how did it differentiate from the other types of lupus?
Well, SLE is considered the mama of all of them, you know. They have discoid, which just goes for your skin. I think they have the neonatal, which is just something with the babies. Then there's another one that's induced. I can't remember the name of that, where it gets induced because you have some kind of medication. But having this one, I'm not claiming that. The diagnosis of this one is, for lack of a better word, the worst, because it encompasses, mm-hmm. like I said earlier, like all your organs. You know, the immune system is really attacking the tissues, even though there's nothing going on. SLE is the mama of it all, you know, because you have the encompassing of the discoid, which is the skin. So you have that already, right? So, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's it. And it's like so many people all over the world that are dealing with this.
Right.
And that's why you see foundation and other foundations that advocate for more information and research to get medications or finding ways to solve it. So, but I am a person that doesn't really like medication. So it really challenges me at times to take it, but I did because that's what they told me. But that's why my husband and I did some homework and said, we're going to find another way to do this. There's got to be a way to do this naturally, because medications, and if you have more than one, they counter-affect the other one. I mean, doctors try to give you stuff that works together, but it's not always the case. I mean, I've had people even, I remember in a Facebook group I had, I remember one woman told me she's on 15 medications. I was like, oh, gosh.
Whoa. Wow.
They counteract, and then other stuff starts happening in the body. You think about it, our body is natural. So the more natural you can eat foods, whole foods, stuff that gives you nutrients and the vitamins you need for it to sustain itself, the better you are. The medications they give you are just masking what symptoms are going on in your body. It's not really healing what's going on in your body. You know what I'm saying? So,
right.
So we have to be very, very discerning when we do take medication. I'm not saying not to be discerning. I remember there was a time during my process that the rheumatologist said, okay, we have these four drugs. He was so funny. He was from Brooklyn. He said, we got these four drugs. Okay, let's start with this first one. I read it. And I went home. I said, nope, we're not taking that drug. He said, why not? I said, because that's going to mess with your eyes. I don't need nothing messing with my eyes, and I already wear glasses. He said, okay, we crossed that one off. Told me another drug. So I researched that drug. I said, oh, nope, I'm not taking that one either, because in the long run, it's going to mess up my stomach, and I want to be able to eat. I was like, we just had to keep
the
going through
The key thing
stuff.
Is to eat.
Yeah, so, and I remember one drug he gave me, I kept throwing up. I said, okay, this is not working. We got to get rid of that. And also, you know, it helps to have a physician that is really in your corner, that really sees what you're doing. Because when he said to me, he had like 1,500 patients, okay? He retired about 4 years ago. More than that, my 5 years ago. And 5 or 6 years ago. And I remember him telling me, You're the only one that listened. What are you talking about, Dr. He said, you're the only one that, you know, you got off all the medicines except one. And he worked very closely with my kidney specialist. They're buddies anyway. But
okay.
We worked closely with him. And we will work on, okay, what medication is working for Terrell? We need to find out what's working for her and what's not working for her. And when we did that, and then when I told him how I was eating and exercise, I'm like, yeah, keep doing that. Keep doing it because it doesn't show any on your reports, on your blood work. It doesn't show up at all. So keep doing that. Keep doing it. But you got to have physicians that are willing to do that. Some physicians might not be as open to that idea, let's say it that way. But I was blessed that they were open. He was, you know, he's from Brooklyn. He was like, yo, I believe doing stuff, you know, if you could find a way not to take the medicine and it helps your body, keep doing it. But not every doctor is like that. So be selective in who you choose because you want to be on this earth a lot longer.
Right.
Be selective on who you choose in terms of, you know, in terms of walking that journey in terms of, you know, the medical doctors and stuff like that. So, yeah, because he was like my second husband. I was like, yeah, okay, this is what's going on. And like, okay, what's going on in life? What you doing? You're working 70 hours. Are you crazy? I was like, I know. He's like, well, you can't be doing that. You know, so we talk like that. You want to have a relationship with your physician. It shouldn't be a physician.
Actually, yes, you should.
The door, right? So how are you supposed to know anything
right.
in 15 minutes? Yeah, so he took time with his patients. He took time. So I love him for that. He really helped me a lot.
Oh, well, that's good. And not only you mentioned your doctors know each other, that's good to have a team. And your team work together to make sure that whatever doctor you're seeing is beneficial throughout whichever doctor you're seeing for whatever at that particular moment. So when you have a team
right.
that's working with you, it eliminates and it also cross-references with the other doctors and everyone is speaking the same language and that'll
yes.
make it so much better. So that is very
yes.
key that everyone speaks the same language to know what's going on.
Yep, to know what's going on. Absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely. It works so well. It works. It's like having
now,
a car, you, and you got the
well, go
oil
ahead.
Change, and you got the new tires on. Everything is working.
Mm-hmm.
Everything's working.
Yeah,
let's
then you get your
going.
Tune-up.
Get travel.
Your tune-up is when you go to the
yep.
medical doctor. He just say,
that's
oh,
right.
yeah, well, you did this, you did that, you went there, and blah, 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 blah. Okay, you good to go. You pass inspection.
That's right. That's right. That's exactly one way to look at it. You are telling the truth on that one. It's so true. I mean, was there anyone else that had any questions in reference to what we're talking about this evening?
I don't know. Anyone else out there, do you have any questions? Would you like to come on and speak?
Yeah, I'll be happy to share.
Would you like to? I have some people on here. I don't want to randomly choose them because they
oh,
may
no.
not have anything to say.
Yeah, yeah. I just thought, you know, because we were talking so well, I didn't want to exclude anybody.
Right.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
like
all.
Some people, you know, you get text messages, pick me now. Okay, a number just popped in and they have a question.
Okay,
9196, I'm about to bring you on. Good evening. How are
Hi,
you? Please state your name where you're calling from.
Hi, my name
Taylor.
Is Taylor. Terrell's my mom.
Hey,
hey
beautiful.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm doing great. This is so inspiring to hear my mom's story. Thank you, everyone, for listening.
Oh.
So my question is, how do you find the... I guess you could say, how do you find the discipline to continue on your path every single day with knowing that you could relapse?
Oh, that's a good one. Thank you.
Ooh. She was waiting for this
one
for you. She got you.
Well, I have to say it's almost similar to folks that are looking to lose weight, right? Each and every day they're doing something to advocate, whether they're getting on a scale, whether they eat more fruits and vegetables, whether they're exercising so that they can make sure they stay within the range they want to. It's the same thing with a health challenge, you know. I know for myself, anytime the doctor can say, well, you know, Terrell, we might need to put you on medication. I am not going back there, okay? I am not going back there. So I find ways each and every day. I wake up and I thank God, first of all, for being here. And then I'm like, okay, what do I need to do today for myself? So, you know, it's funny because my husband and I decided this year, or not this year, I shouldn't say it that way. We had got a little bit off track a couple of months ago, and we were like, okay, we got to get back to the basics, right? Because I kept hearing that. I kept hearing the Holy Spirit keep saying, get back to the basics. So I got back to the basics. And I feel really good about it because I do give myself indulgences, but I don't go overboard anymore. And I was doing that months ago, and I was like, no, what are you doing to yourself? You don't want to be back in that spot anymore. So get back to what you need to do. So discipline is a word that's actually part of my my coaching program. That's one of the words I use is discipline, because discipline is how it's different than somebody asked me that question. Discipline is when you do it anyway, regardless of your emotion. Because that day you could be sad, you could be happy, you could be mad, or you don't feel like doing it. But discipline tells you you got to do it anyway. So that's the way I feel about it with my health. I have to do this anyway. You know, and there's so many people that I talk to over the years, you know, in different mediums or social media, whatever. And I know there are people out there suffering. I know there are people that are feeling a certain way and feeling like they can't do it, but they can. But it's discipline. And how much do you want to, I should put it this way, what is the cost of you not doing it? Okay? What is the cost if you don't do it? The cost is, if someone's in this situation, is you get lapsed, right? And then, you know, it could be, you could be in a hospital. You could be losing one of your organs. It could be, you know, a ripple effect, right? So when we take the opportunity and discipline ourselves, and that's in any area of life, discipline yourself, relationships, discipline yourself at work, discipline and exercise, the eating, how am I, you know, helping the next person, how do I discipline myself and my body? It's all about self-control. You know, when you do too much of a good thing, also has the effect of also doing too much of a bad thing. But unfortunately in the world, a lot of people tend to go for all the stuff that has a lot of pleasure in it. And then sometimes that might lead us to things that are not as good as we thought it was. So take it one step at a time and cheer yourself on each time you've done something well. So I keep this container up in my room, and this year I didn't do it every day, but last year I did it every day, where I would write something that I celebrated for that day, because a lot of times stuff happens in life, you forget to celebrate. It can be something as simple like, wow, I ate 3 fruits today, when maybe before you only ate 1, or you didn't even eat any because you're eating a lot of junk, right? Or today I took an hour and a half walk instead of 15-minute walk. You know, just celebrate little stuff. Or I got my hair done. You know, celebrate stuff that you do, because we take it for granted, even the people in our lives. Like I tell Taylor all the time, well, we always be off the phone, love you, and, you know, we want to let each other know what we love each other, right? So, yeah, so that's what I would say to that question.
Oh.
Thank you.
Okay. Well, thank you, Ms. Taylor. Continue to listen, and I'm going to put you back on hold. Okay. Oh, I just lost my thought because you had said, what's the word you just said? Discipline. Yeah.
Discipline.
How do you discipline discipline? I'm just saying, because, you know, discipline, you know, shows its rear face, and it's like, So how do you discipline discipline?
Well, I don't have an answer for that.
I just know for myself. I just have to do it, and go to the Word. You know, if I'm really feeling like, ugh, I just go read the Word, meaning the Bible. For some people who might understand what I'm talking about, the Bible, and ask for God's strength. Philippians 4:13 helps a lot, so check that out. Helps a lot because you need strength because your body is weak. You want to, you know, like at the buffet, you like seeing that. You see different foods. You're like, oh, please give me strength. I don't need to eat this. This is not good for me. Eat something that's healthy so that you could be here another day, be here another week. You know what I'm saying? So
exactly.
Discipline is not easy, but it goes with your heart and your mind. And people don't understand, especially with sugar, and that's a whole different conversation. Sugar doesn't know the difference.
You done messed me up difference. Now. You didn't say the S word.
Yeah. It doesn't know the difference. You know, your brain doesn't know the difference, and really be careful with that. And sugar is almost in everything. Believe me when I tell you, when you read them.
Even in
fancy words. Yeah, you know? So.
Yeah, so you got to be careful with those.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's another conversation.
So, how do you prevent a flare up, if at all? How can you prevent a flare up?
I've been blessed. I honestly believe it's the way I handle my life.
Okay.
Like I said earlier, I really work on keeping myself away from stress. I know this might sound silly, girl, but I don't listen to the news. I'm not one of those that's chasing down her phone, trying to find out what everybody else is doing. I will go on my app to see what the weather is since I walk every day.
Right.
So I do see, like, weather from different, you know, different states or different countries. But that's as much. If I need to know something, I feel my husband or my children or people I know would tell me what's going on, because that can be very depressing. That does affect people. Let's see what else I do to help that out. Eat for my blood type. That works a lot. Exercise works a lot. Sleeping. I'm working on that because, you know, I'm a night owl and I like to stay up. So I really have to work on 6 or 7 hours sleep. I know they say as you get older, you know, you don't have to sleep as much. Honey, you get as much rest as you need to. Even if you need to take a nap during the day, take your nap and then, okay, later on at night you go to bed. You know what I'm saying? So also I would encourage, you know, now that we're so much with technology, you know, everybody got a phone or two phones and the TV's going on and the iPad's going on, you know, take time before you go to bed, at least an hour, to relax, because the brain is so sensitive. It picks up all of this stuff and it's still running even when you're on the phone or watching TV. So give yourself some quiet time. Read a book. Do a crossword puzzle. Color. Crochet. I crochet a lot. I have a crochet group.
Okay.
I lead a group there. So that helps a lot. So finding ways to de-stress yourself really works to help not have a flare-up. And for folks, I feel, this is just my personal opinion, when you're dealing with the autoimmune and it's your immune system, having the vitamins, meaning the nutrients in your body to really keep the immune system boosted up is key. Vitamin D is essential. Oh, my gosh. Vitamin D you get from the sun, but if you live in states that don't have a lot of sun, which I just read this today, I didn't even know that from Los Angeles all the way over to us, anybody above Los Angeles, you put a line straight across, not straight across, but a little dip, we don't get a lot of sun. So people like in Texas and Louisiana down there, they get a lot of sun, but we don't.
Right.
So you're losing vitamin D, which is essential to your body. So unless you're eating salmon and mackerel and things of that nature, the fatty acids in terms of the omega-3s and 6s, you're missing it. So you might have to take a supplement for that.
Right.
So find ways to getting that sun, you know, 20 minutes a day if you can. It really does help the body. And, you know, so those are the things I do to make sure that I don't get that to happen on me. I don't get a flare up.
Right.
And if I do, you know, and it's different for everybody. Some people get the skin breakout. Some people, you know, get very, very tired. I remember there was a time early on in my journey, you know, I had alopecia. And if you don't know what that is, you get these little circles of hair loss in your
okay.
scalp. Mm-hmm. And that was not nice. That was not easy to deal with because I love my hair.
Right.
And I was like, oh, now I'm dealing with this. So I had to find different kind of hairstyles to do. And when I started taking care of the inside of my body, right, the organs that were serving my body, when I took care of them, then that disappeared. I didn't have it anymore. You know, so everything works together as a whole unit, like I said,
right?
Right,
yes. Like what we said about the car,
it
passed inspection because all of your doctors work together to make sure that everything that each of them are saying, one is not stepping on the other one, and they all in uniform or in unison in reference to your health. And again, you have to be the one to advocate for that so that,
rather,
you and Jeff, you know, you're your little bodyguard coming along.
Yeah, he
so
is my bodyguard.
It's very key.
He's that he's that lion boy. He's not going
to
let nothing happen.
Listen,
he's
that's his
lion.
He says to Jeff do his part, and you will not. So, yes, he's going to stand up and
That's
do
right.
what he needs to do for you.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, I'm going to make a point before you get to that. And I've been blessed because we've been together, 36 years? And I know for a fact if he wasn't in my life, I probably wouldn't be here today, to be honest with you. And then there's so many men that don't handle when their spouse or their partner is sick. They don't handle
right.
it well. They might, and then they'll walk away or they'll go to maybe alcoholism, maybe drugs, whatever, to kind of deal with that. You know, they find some outside source in trying to deal with the fact that, you know, the spouse is not doing well or, not, you know, have some kind of health issue. So I've been blessed mm-hmm. to have a man like that in my life, you know.
Oh, everybody, y'all get y'all a Jeff. You know, it's interesting because I went to my cousin's funeral on Friday.
And
the way they spoke of my cousin, so they were saying, everybody, y'all need a John in your life. So now here you coming with another J. So now it's a Jeff in your life. So ladies, if you're out there listening, it seems that the men with the J's, you need to get the J's, and I'm not talking about Jordan. You need to get to a J in your life, you know, and so it'll make it all right for you because there's a second J that I come across that someone's talking about. So we looking for J's, all you J's out there, show up. We looking for you.
Show up. Stand up. Stand up tall.
Okay,
that's so true.
What is lupus for you? What do you see it as? How do you identify it? What is it for you, and how does it play a role with you living?
Well, I don't identify with it in that sense. Like I told you in the beginning, I'm a daughter of the Most High, our Father. So it's just a condition that happened, and the reason, I don't know, but it could be the fact of having this book out to help other people realize that they can overcome it, that it is a dis-ease in your body. So we really want to find ways to have more ease in our body so these don't pop up and stuff like that. So I don't really identify with it anymore. It's just something that happened, a blip on the radar. So that's the way I look at it now. I can't say I looked at it like that back then when I was in the midst of it, but that's how I look at it now. What was the other question to that?
No, I was just saying there wasn't a part two to that one particularly.
Okay.
Because, you know,
yeah.
Everyone, like, for instance, you know, there are different types of lupus. Now, when you spoke of your type, how was they able to differentiate the type that you have versus the other three types?
Oh, it goes with that blood test we talked about, the ANA and some other ones that I don't remember right now, too, and they can tell you.
Okay.
Then, you know, in order for you to, quote, unquote, qualify for this diagnosis, you got to have at least 4 out of 10. Fever, hair loss, skin rash, kidney inflammation, fatigue, pulmonary issues, which I had that too, painful, swollen joints, dry mouth, thyroid, and gastrointestinal things going on. So, yeah, you got to have 4 out of 10.
Oh, Jesus. 4 out of 10 or 6 out of 10?
I don't remember. I mean, at one point, 4 out of 11, 8 out of 10. Now, who knows? Things change.
Right.
But I know you had to give you that diagnosis.
Right. You know, it's interesting, like when the pandemic hit, and it was like automatically they had a quote-unquote cure for it. And it was a medicine that they was creating for cancer that it seemed to work for COVID. Then you have the medicines that you take for diabetes, which in turn help for weight loss. So that association is there. How come there's nothing that's already on the market for something else can substitute for lupus?
Well, from what I understand,
that you should know this, but I'm just speaking.
Yeah,
speaking
out loud.
I understand
what you're saying. Yeah, speaking out loud. This is my personal opinion. I don't know what they have come up with, but I would think it's because of the fact that it is different for everybody. So, you know, they do have a drug called Benalista that they brought out in, I think, 2011 or something like that. I could be wrong. And that was, quote, unquote, a drug for people diagnosed with lupus. And I didn't have to take it, thank God. You know, there's some other drugs that that they have on the market for dealing with this condition. But again, like I shared with you, it has a lot of side effects. Any medication, I want people to remember that. Any medication, I don't care what you take, has a side effect. Please read the label.
Yes.
Read
even
the side
Tylenol.
Effect. Go online. Even Tylenol and ibuprofen. Go read it. Have you ever seen those commercials where they have these weird names on the commercials and then at the bottom in small print, you could die of, you could die
right,
from
right. And, you know,
people,
it is interesting because they say they're talking slow and articulating in reference to talking about all the great things that this medicine is going to do for you, but then all the side effects, they go,
exactly.
You know, like, And every time I see these commercials, I just laugh because I'm like,
you've got to
be kidding me. You know, they was talking real slow a few minutes ago and, you know, getting me hyped up about, oh, this going to do this and it's going to do that and save this and heal the world and kumbaya. And then they have a whole skit for 5 minutes of blah, 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 blah. And all of those are side effects.
So, yes, you have
a very, very good point. Read the labels. Read the long-term effects. Because medicines stay in your system long after you've taken it.
Yes.
So, and it takes a while for your body to discard the medicine that you're putting in your system. So, and you got to need, and you need to know what your body can actually tolerate.
Mm-hmm.
Some medicines may be too strong for you.
Right.
Like, for instance, if I was to take 800 ibuprofen, you would think mm-hmm. I was high because I don't know what. Why? Because that's very strong for me, and it takes a minute to come out my system. So I would rather take 200 milligrams. That way my body can discard the medicine after it subsided the issue that I took it for.
Right.
So,
no,
again, you have to learn your body and know what you can tolerate. And just because they say take this medicine, find out the long term of what this medicine can and will do for you, not just overall, because, you know, they'll give you a general consensus of, oh, well, the long-term effects can be X, Y, and Z. But so now let's break that down a little further. What is this XYZ long-term effect? How would it affect me based on my current situation?
Right,
because how
exactly.
it affects you is the end result may not be the same for me. And it's the same medicine, but it's going to affect us differently in the long run. So, you know, you have a very key point. Please read your labels and find out what medicines can and will do for you based on your medical history, not just
right.
what they That's say right. it's for, based on your medical history.
Yeah. So, you like know, I said, I feel reason why they have a medication from somewhere else for SLE is because each person's, you know, it's different. It's just different. So, and like I said, the closest is the one I mentioned, the Benalista, and I didn't have to
right.
take that. So, yeah. So what I had.
You didn't have to take it because you said you wasn't taking it.
No, I had other medications.
There's a difference. Because did they
yeah,
tell you about it for you to take it? And you was like, no.
No. When it came out, my rheumatologist, the same one I've been talking about, he was like, that's kind of new. We're not dealing with that. What you got right now is working, so we don't need to mess with that. So,
okay.
And that's what we did. And then we worked on it as I started eating that really worked for my body and started giving me more vitality. The more the medication he gave me started decreasing. So, say I was at 1,500, now I'm down to 1,000. I don't remember what it was. I don't think I had that much.
Right.
Just giving you an example, 1,500 to go to 1,000, then it went to 800, then it went to 400, then it was like, okay, you're gone, you don't need that. We'll try this for two
okay,
weeks, see how your body goes. Yeah. So, but that's taking charge. That's taking charge of yourself and your body,
mm-hmm.
you know, and you got to be serious with that because, you know, there are repercussions for us. Well, there's a... And every action has a consequence. My daughter and I were talking about this the other day. We're out hanging out. And every action has a consequence. When you
yes.
take the time to take care of your body temple, the inside of it will take care of the outside of it. When you also take the action, when you throw garbage in it, it's going to be stinking. Let's face it, right? It's just not going to work. You know, in the garbage, you know, you put all the crap in it, it starts stinking, it starts smelling up the place, you know,
yep.
now, you know, so same thing
yes,
with your body. Sure. The disease starts coming in and it starts devouring yourself. It starts devouring the organs that are in your body. And now you're going to have to get medication to mask the symptoms of that disease in your body. And you just hope if you... You know, if you continue to do the same thing, you just, some people hope things will change. It won't change until you change something. You know that thing when they say in family,
yes.
same thing, expecting different results? Well, we have to, I mean, as a people, I believe, we really have to take the time to figure this out, to get serious about our health and not let it be, how can you say, the word I'm looking to use I won't use. But okay. Let's not be a doormat. Let's not be a doormat to our house, okay? Let everybody just walk all over it, get it dirty, and you're thinking it's okay. No, let's not do that. Let's take charge and renew our health and reclaim it and restore it the way it's supposed to be.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, because you've gone through lupus and you went through several stages on your journey, would you participate in a case study or no?
I've been over the years. They have what's clinical study. I never qualified for them. I don't know why. I guess because, I don't know, I kept saying,
after reading your story, you should have been qualifying for a whole lot of something.
No. Most of the time I wasn't qualified for them. And I would put in for them. They're like, nope, you're not qualified to take this study. I said, gosh, I guess I'd have to be sick more than what they're talking about.
Well, I guess that can be a positive thing because
that's
if you don't qualify, that means, you know, you're doing something that's beneficial to helping your process and in your healing.
Right. That's what I was saying. I said, well, I don't qualify, so I guess that's good for me. That's what I would say. So after a while, I stopped applying to them. So, you know.
Okay.
I don't know if they would have a case study, you know, now. I don't know if they have something like that now. I'd be kind of interesting if they did for anyone that's dealing with this diagnosis and doing very well.
Right.
I don't know. I've been called an anomaly. especially the new doctor, he's like, well, you don't really have, you know, why are you coming to me? I was like, well, I'm supposed to have a rheumatologist. And, you know, that's what I'm doing. So I just have to be conscious of little things like, you know, my blood pressure, because, you know, if I do put stress on myself for certain things, I have to, okay, go back and calm yourself down, girl. You know, I'm not taking no blood pressure medicine. Okay, we're not doing that. So, but basically it's something that's there. It's, it's just like in the background. It's just there. So it's just something that happened. And I've learned to, how can I put it? I just know that it's there. That's all.
Okay.
I know it's there. Yeah.
Now, throughout the whole show, I'm sorry, what were you saying?
I said you just learn to move past it. You learn to overcome it, you know.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Learn to overcome it. You know, that's, I guess, the word I'm looking for is resilience. Yeah, resilience.
Okay, resilience. There you go. The R word. Now, throughout the show, you've mentioned your husband, as far as a great support system. Who else, I mean, you don't necessarily have to state names or anything, but if you want, you're more than welcome to. But did you have a group of good people for a support system, and how did you find solace in them? To know that you can get through this?
I would say some of my girlfriends, you know, you just talk about it. It's like, oh, this is how my day was. This is going on. Can we talk?
Right.
And, you know, they'll listen, get suggestions. And maybe you're working too hard. Maybe you need to take a break like that. So I had that too. But I have to say the main one, is definitely him. He was like, even when I was overworking myself, he would even put boundaries on people that I was dealing with because they were pulling my car. They're like, yo, she can't come. She can't do that. Nope. We're not traveling over there. We're not going, you know. So, but there are, you know, ladies in my life that I can talk to and say this is going on and this is what's happening and stuff, because it's not easy, you know, when you have children. And I also had surgeries done as a result of the systemic lupus, because of the drugs they gave me back in the day, and they might be more conscious of that medically now, but back in the day, they didn't know what the heck they were doing. They really didn't. They were like, okay, let's
give her this amount of drugs. They're their guinea pigs because,
yeah, I was the
because
guinea pig.
There's
okay.
no real cure, and they really don't know the why. Like, for instance, they really don't know why you get keloids. So basically, you know, when things are happening, we're the guinea pigs of figuring out the why for, in the medical terms, to find out what's going on and why is this happening, what can be done, and, well, you know, this person have this. So, and this, that, and the third worked for them. So it's a strong possibility that this can work for MNO. So, you know, I guess we all have to be a guinea pig to something, whether we know it or not. Now, you have mentioned in the book something about your sorrow. Now, have you ever turned to your sorority in times like this, when you had a flare-up or in reference to lupus or the only one who may have had it?
No, I can't really say I did because after the children came, I wasn't that active. Yes.
Okay. Well, the good thing is you had your husband standing by you. That was then, and now he's standing by you even more some 30-plus years later. So as long as you got your J, you are good. You are good.
Yeah, I'm good. I am good. I am good. Yep. We came through a lot.
So when was your last flare? Before we begin closing out, when was your last flare up and triggered it, and how did you maneuver to calm it down?
That was a while ago. I don't remember because you're talking about before 2008. So,
oh, that's great.
Yeah, so I don't really remember. And if it was, back then, the children were younger, and we were really active with our network marketing business. So it's probably something with that, the hours that we did, and me eating and or something, you know, probably something like that. But I really don't remember anymore because, you know,
well,
we
if it was
both,
that long ago, we're going to keep it that far away.
Yeah.
So we'll know. You good, boo.
Yeah. And I would say the only thing right now it would be my blood pressure because that's the only thing she'll say, like, oh, your purse is up. What were you doing? I'm not moving as much as before because, you know, with my business, I sit at my desk a lot, and I'm like, I can't do that anymore because before 2020, I was moving a lot because I was in a capacity of working part-time. So now, and not on my feet, right? So now I'm sitting in a situation, and, you know, when you're sedentary, it can lead to the cemetery, girl. So your girl ain't trying to do that. I have to get up every hour, walk, exercise, do something in the house to keep myself moving.
Right.
That's why I walk in the mornings. I go swim. I work out my weights. You know, you clean the house. You do different things so that your body keeps moving. That's what I have to keep doing now.
Right.
You know?
It's interesting because my Fitbit used to go off every hour for either 8 or 10 hour period to remind me that I need to move.
Right.
And because my Fitbit broke. Well, my Fitbit didn't break. The charging port broke. And I haven't been wearing it. And I find that I will sit and be working, and next thing you know, like 2-3 hours went by, and I have not gotten up to move. And I'm like, okay, you need to get up, stretch, do something. And when I was working from home, I would walk in place like 1,000 steps. Now, for some people, like, okay, that's boring. That's what. But you know what? It worked for me. I made sure that I got my 10,000 steps in a day. And because I was working from home and I didn't want to go outside with all the germs, I would walk in place and then I'll run in place and then I'll put on a song and I'll dance for the whole song. And you never realize how long a song is.
Right, so you
until
dancing,
doing
girl.
Something. I'm like, good God, this song 25 minutes? When it's going to shut up?
Yep. I'm going to say something about that 10 steps because I read something today. This doctor said, what did he say? He said, the European Journal of Preventive Cardiology found walking just shy of 4,000 steps a day, 3,867 steps to be precise, or roughly 2 miles, can reduce your risk of dying from any cause. And in other words, they're saying people keep thinking they have to do 10,000. This expert in physical activity, Clarion Fredell, he said, but you really don't. Walking pace is about 20 minutes per mile, according to the CDC. So, you know, you walk 1,000, 4,000 steps, that's still good. So if you don't get your 10,000, you know, don't beat yourself up.
That's okay. Don't beat yourself up. You know what?
Yeah.
Starting tomorrow, I'm going to get up again and go back to my routine, and I'm going to get my 2 miles in or however many miles for my 4,000 steps. I'm jogging out. And I'll be counting my steps, too.
Yeah,
but
I count mine, too.
Ladies and gentlemen, as we begin to close out the show for this evening, we want to thank Terrell for coming on and sharing her story. And I'm sure there's so many out there who may have a similar story as well. Y'all know how we do it. We have to say, you know, happy birthday and congratulations and all that good stuff. So we want to say happy birthday to Soldier of Love, Stephanie, Michelle M., Majestic Eagle, Jeff M., Mike B, Lisa G, and ladies and gentlemen, tomorrow is going to be happy 5th publishersary to LSO.
Ooh.
Third book, Sultry, Intoxicated,
oh,
and Naughty, which is called Sin, but it's sin in a good way. So, you know, I can play on words. So it's my first book of erotic short stories. Didn't know I can do it until I did it. So tomorrow I will be celebrating. I'll be celebrating my publishersary. We want to say condolences to all those that, you know, who may have lost a loved one. Also to the families that a drone went over and killed, I think, 5 U.S. military people. So condolences to that family, you know, those families. Don't forget to tell us when your birthday is so that you can get an LSO treat show shout out on your special day. And it may not be your birthday. It could be an anniversary, you graduated, or something special. Let me know, and you know what? We'll give you a shout out too and make you feel just as special as you want and need to be. Miss Terrell, Mrs. Holloman, what would you like to tell the listening audience? How can they find you?
Well, first of all, we said so much. So hopefully they got a couple of gems out of this. But I would say, what I want to share is this, really take care of your heart. And your heart means so many different things. It could be the actual heart that's pumping because that gives you all the blood up and down your organs, and really take care of it well, and also receive the love and the hope and the joy and the peace that you deserve, and keeping healthy, because the healthier you, oh gosh, just turns a smile up from a frown, right? So we want to work on that. And how you can get a hold of me, my book, Embarrassed to Empowered, A Healing Lupus Story, it's on my website.
My website is livinglovingyouwell.com, and you can find it there. I would say for folks that are not in the United States, it might be a little easier to order it on Amazon. But the folks that order from my website will get a signed copy from me. So that's usually what I do for everyone that orders it from my website. So, yeah.
Okay.
So that's what I've got going on right now. And we'll be in contact because I'm going to do something in April. We talk about
okay.
that sugar stuff. I'm doing
well,
we're going
to be looking out for that,
stuff.
And I'll be sure to let the listening audience know. Remember,
yeah.
LSO will be coming to you each and every Monday night from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So tune in to lawlessradio.com or via phone at 646-478-5209. And don't forget to tell a friend and invite them to listen in as well. We have some spectacular shows coming up. I think for the next two shows, we're going to have Kevin Lewis. Y'all know him. That's the financial person. We're going to have him coming on. You know, people are getting their taxes now, and people misappropriate the funds that they get back. Remember, this is a lump sum money. This is not a consistent every week, every 2 weeks. This is not a paycheck. So, you know, to help you budget accordingly to get you right, and also to get your credit right. And those who are looking for business credit, he's actually good because he's actually doing my business credit or as well. So it's a lot of things that's going on. Or if you have a title or something you want to talk about, let LSO know. We could bring it to the forefront, and maybe you too can be a guest on the LSO Treat Show. If you are looking to promote your brand, call or message LSO at 718-666-1336 to find out how you can become a sponsor of the Lawless Radio LSO Treat Show. Lawless Radio started on the premise of TL, the chairman, with his vision and his promise to support your local come-up. So if you want your music played on Lawless Radio, go to the website and submit your music. Tonight, we didn't play any music. Why? Because we had a special guest on, and we needed to hear her story, and her story is going to touch someone. And because this story, well, the shows are archived, it will touch someone's life over and over and over again. Let's show our support for one another. Terrell gave you her information of how to get her book, Embarrassed to Empowered, A Healing Lupus Story. If you don't want to go to her website, you also can find it on Amazon. You can order LSO merchandise at Treats, the letter N, things, LSO.com. And you can follow me on social media platforms, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok at LSO Treats. If you order directly from my website, you automatically get an autographed copy of the book or whatever paraphernalia LSO have. The LSO erotic calendar just dropped. And yes, LSO is on her own fiscal year. Her fiscal year is from February to March of the following year. And also greeting cards. Valentine's Day is coming up. You want to show your loved one that you love them and you don't know exactly what to say? I got you, girl. I got you, boy. I can say it for you. And you didn't part your lips to say anything, but yet that's what your heart was speaking. So if you're interested in any of those, they're up on the website. You can go there and get the merchandise. And closure for this evening, spending my Monday evenings vibing with each and every one of you in conversation. As the Lawless Radio LSO Treat Show promises to bring more transparency, awareness, taboo, educational, and so much more. I hope you enjoyed these past five and a half years thus far, and you will continue on the Lawless Radio LSO Treat Show journey. There will always be enlightening and strengthening in each and every show as we get into each other's business. And tonight, Terrell blessed us to share her story with lupus, and you never know, her story may do wonders for those listening in. I hope you enjoyed tonight's show, and we left you with something to think about on the topic, Embarrassed to Empowered, A Healing Lupus Story. And hearing a personal story can give you insight into your own journey. And it may not be a journey with lupus. It may be a journey with something else. But just to hear someone's story I bet it woke you up tonight, didn't it? Some pieces of advice I have for you. Give yourself grace. And I say that because we tend to stomp on ourselves for what we did or what we didn't do or what we should not have done. But you have to realize in the time that you made that decision and you did what you did, that's what you're supposed to have done in that time. And that was the best decision in that moment. Now, I'm not saying that could have been the best decision for the overall of what happened, but in that moment, it was the best decision. So give yourself grace. Also, be patient with yourself. Why? Because you need it. You really do. And get clarity from your doctors and help them help you. Tell them everything that's going on, even the minute thing. Let them know, because that little thing may be very important in the care that they're going to advise for you and, you know, have for you. It is okay. It is okay to feel how you feel. But in the end, there is help, and you are not alone. You're not the first person that went through something, and you're not going to be the last person. So it's okay to feel how you feel. Let people know so that you can be helped. And put yourself first always. Love on yourself, and then you can share that love. People sometimes mimic what you do for you. If you bash yourself, put yourself down, or don't love on yourself, you know what? They see how you treating yourself, so you know what? Now they're going to treat you how you treat you so they can stay in uniform. So love on yourself. Be okay to remove people off of your journey. Why? Because they may be interrupting your peace, your mental health, and your vision. This is your journey, your passion, and not everyone is privy to it, and they should not have access to you. Walking and giving yourself grace as you deserve it. It is perfectly okay at any point in your journey to revise and redirect. Your vision may call for some changes. And note, a change or detour is not negative. It may very well be beneficial to your overall being. Learn the lessons in the change of direction. This applies to you, and especially you, the one who turned their head and was like, no, she ain't talking to me. Yes, you. We get to live day to day, and we get to live every day, but we get one time to die. So you know what? Begin living. Nothing is promised to any of us, so enjoy living while you can and take living by storm. Do any and all things you think to do without hesitation or regret. Why? Because you can and you should. Step out of your box and experience what's on the other side. Every day you wake up is the most precious gift to you, so don't take it for granted. Live happily in every moment of your life. Live in your peace, P-E-A-C-E, and not a peace, P-I-E-C-E, because you are worthy. You are enough. Know that you matter. Elevate yourself. You are great. You are strong. You are needed. You are loved. Some people went through the whole day, the whole year thus far, and no one never told them they're loved. Well, you know what? I'm going to tell you tonight, LSO love you. If I can hate you for no reason, I sure can love you for that same no reason. LSO would like to thank each and every one of you for tuning into the show and hanging out 2 hours of conversation and hearing Terrell's story. If God's will, we will talk to you next week. Stay prayed up. My hashtag is my LSO journey, hashtag love yourself organically, hashtag I deserve, hashtag I am. Terrell, what is your hashtag?
Hashtag living, loving you well. Hashtag embarrassed to empowered. Hashtag healthy lifestyle.
There you go.
And, oh,
yours is
for your
sweetness,
book.
LSO. Have a good night, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.